you get a chance to take the first bar exam that you're eligible for, and then, you know, if you pass it, then of course you're allowed to stay on. If you flunk it, they kick you out. Now, I would say that a very substantial portion of the lawyers that are now in the state came up under that sort of waiver agreement and worked either with a district attorney or, I believe, with the legal services. I think they have the same type of arrangement. I think that we ought to continue that. Otherwise, any lawyers that want to come to Alaska will probably have to work as something else for as long as 8, 9, or 10 months before they can go to work as lawyers. They'll probably have to, you know, do something entirely out of the legal field. And while a lot of people might think, well, maybe that's not such a bad thing, and I do think that, in all fairness, that these people ought to be allowed to practice under this waiver, and this is what this amendment is aimed at.
Mr. Wallace. Is objection maintained to the amendment? Hearing, is objection maintained? Hearing no objection, then the amendment is adopted. Will the clerk read the next amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Brown. Page 1. Page 1, line 29, and page 2, line 1. Omit the new language that's underlined. Page 2, line 10. Change the semicolon to a period after state and omit the new language. Page 3, lines 13 and 14. In each line, change selected to elected and selection to election as appropriate. Page 2, lines 19 and 20, and 24 and 25, omit the new language underlined and restore the old language now in brackets.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Objection is noted. Mr. Brown, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment in substance removes the two laypersons that are added to the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association originally by the Judiciary Committee substitute. Initially, as a matter of fact, at my behest and Mr. Parr's and several other members of the committee before the interim. Mr. Speaker, the Bar Association, of course, became very concerned about that and wanted to know what our concerns were. In informal conversations with members of the House Judiciary Committee, just before the adjournment of the previous session, after this language had been voted upon by the committee, and since that time, particularly during the interim, they believed that our concern was the protection of consumers along the same lines and with respect to the same kind of a theory that it is proposed that lay members be added to other groups that regulate professions. And Mr. Speaker, I think in direct response to that, and as a matter of fact, Mr. Compton, who then was not yet a judge and was still a lobbyist for the Alaska Bar Association, responded affirmatively this session when we had the bill under consideration. And I asked him if the action by the bar and by the court in promulgating rules putting laypersons on the disciplinary boards and on the fee arbitration boards was in response to the concerns of the House Judiciary Committee. And he said, yes, it was. And Mr. Speaker, I'm quite sure it was. Mr. Speaker, the interests of the consumer are protected by having laypersons on the disciplinary organizations and on the fee arbitration organizations. Those are the people who actually do police the lawyers. Because of the exercise of what's called the inherent power of the court under the section I just read and the case I cited, what is left of the powers of the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association is really pretty small. The Alaska Integrated Bar Act was originally passed in 1955 in a very unusual situation, which arose because Alaska as a territory was the only territory in about the last 80 or 90 years that had never had any higher court system above the level of the trial court. Since we had no appellate court system and our cases were appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, there was no appellate court or higher court that was deemed by anyone to have the kind of both rulemaking authority and also inherent power over the Bar Association. At that time, Mr. Speaker, the Alaska Legislature passed the Alaska Integrated Bar Act, which was to seek more professionalism within the practice of law because of criticisms of members of the bar in Alaska, just and unjust, from lawyers from outside of the territory of Alaska, and to raise the standards to the level of those that are espoused at that time and now by the American Judicature Society. Mr. Speaker, then the Alaska Constitutional Convention, meeting almost that same year, incorporated a reference to the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association in the Constitution of the State of Alaska with respect to the makeup of the Alaska Judicial Council. Without going into a four-hour historical speech of how it ended up that the then administrator of courts was accompanied by a policeman with a gun into the National Bank of Alaska in order to impound the funds of the Alaska Bar Association in the summer of 1964, I'll tell you that that particular conflict resulted in several years of disagreement and dispute and litigation between the bar and the court, all of which now has been settled and in favor of the view of the court that it does have the inherent power over the bar. So what's left of the powers of the Board of Governors is really not much more than the officers of a country club, and the actual enforcement powers that they exercise at all are only because they're doing it by the grace of God in the Supreme Court of Alaska. The actual powers with respect to policing lawyers are within the disciplinary boards and the fee arbitration boards, and they've been put there in response to the concerns of the Judiciary Committee, and I felt in committee, and I feel on the floor of this House, that it was something of a breach of faith for us to pursue our amendment even after the court and the Bar Association had promulgated these rules in response to our concerns about consumer protection. I urge the passage of the amendment.
Mr. Cotton.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm not an attorney, and we've only got a couple here, and therefore I probably wasn't subject to any kind of interim discussions with any bar associations, and wasn't really subject to any of the pressures and arguments that Mr. Brown apparently has been. I think, and as I agreed with Mr. Brown last year on the Judiciary Committee, that a couple of lay members on the Board of Governors certainly wouldn't harm their operation, and very likely could result in a little consumer enlightenment and protection, and I still think it's a good idea. I intend to vote against the amendment.
Mr. Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I guess there are really two issues. The first one is that whether we are going to exercise the same discretion we've used with other boards and commissions and treat the attorneys the same way as we treat the doctors and the barbers and everybody else. And so I think this consensus of the House is we'd probably want to do that. The other issue that appears to me that Mr. Brown has raised is that the regulation is already being taken care of by the Supreme Court, and we have a question of separation of powers here, and as to whether the legislature is properly performing its function or muscling into the judicial sphere. It is my view that we are not doing that, and therefore I do not intend to support the amendment, or the proposed amendment.
Is there any other discussion on the amendment? Question is, shall amendment number 2 pass the House? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
We'll have a roll call vote. Question is, shall an amendment number 2 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change his vote? Mr. Rhodes. Any other member wish to change his vote? Mr. Wallace. Anybody else? Clerk may take the roll.
Fifteen yeas, 24 nays, one excused.
Amendment fails. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 3 by Greening and Cooper. Page 6, line 2. Delete 3, page 6, line 2, delete 3, insert 5. Page 7, line 8, delete 3, insert 5.
Mr. Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number 3.
Objection is noted, Mr. Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I hope I'm more successful at this amendment than the prior two amendments. I actually favor the concept of a clerkship. This had been in effect during territorial days, and some of the most outstanding attorneys in the state had become members of the bar through that process. One of them was my partner, Stan McCutcheon. I don't think anybody who knew him in action would say that he wasn't one of the finest members of the profession. I do think that probably 2 years of clerkship, which is what this present Judiciary Committee substitute calls for, is insufficient. Under the prior territorial days, the clerkship was 5 years. What I have done by changing 5 for 3 is allowed for 1 year of law school and 4 of clerking would be one way of doing it. I really think that probably it should be mandatory after law school anyway, because most attorneys getting out of law school still have to find out where the courthouse is. And this clerkship certainly is a good idea. I don't know if it'll fly, but I think that all we're doing really in this bill, because of the constitutional problems, is suggesting the Supreme Court they take a look at it. I'd just as soon send something up that I think is reasonable, because I think they'll take a more serious look at it. Frankly, I think the way it now stands, they're probably going to ignore it, or at least we're going to have to get them to agree with a portion of it. And I think this is entirely more reasonable, and I think we could at least get them to look at it seriously.
Mr. Yorian.
Mr. Speaker, I'm opposed to the amendment. It seems to me that the real test of whether a person can be an attorney or not is whether he passes the exam. And if a person can do it in 1 year of study or 6 months of study or no study, if he passes the exam, he's qualified. And I think 3 years would be sufficient.
Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I also oppose the amendment. Though I realize it was a friendly amendment, one of the reasons for the Rules Committee's action was to afford, I believe, rural Alaska's reasonable entry into the study of law and the clerking of law. And I think that while this is well intended, that it's a little overly restrictive. I think for that reason, I'll vote against it.
Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, it isn't exactly true that the only thing you need to do to qualify to be an attorney in this state is just to pass this test. You ought to have to have done a good deal of other things. One of them is to get a degree from an accredited law school. That's 3 years of pretty intensive study. You wouldn't think of admitting a doctor to practice medicine in this state just because he could pass the medical boards if he'd never been to medical school. I think that the clerkship concept is very valuable. Not only some outstanding attorneys, but also some very outstanding judges. Two of them from my district got admitted to the practice of law in this way. And I think that this amendment that Representative Greening and I proposed is one way to get back to that concept. I think 5 years is appropriate. That's about the right period of time. It'll take a person about that long to be qualified to practice law in this state. Thank you.
Mr. Cutton.
Maybe, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to call perhaps on one of the historians in the body to enlighten us as to what the previous requisites were for clerking under a provision similar to this. Was it a 2-year, 4-year period, or exactly what was it?
Mr. Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, for the first or second, I think first speaker of the State House of Representatives studied his law by studying Blackstone's commentaries while he was a baggage man on the Copper River Railroad and the Alaska Railroad. That was Warren A. Taylor. Mr. Speaker, in the early territorial years and up until the adoption of the Alaska Integrated Bar Act, it was pretty much up to the district court judges and the individual judicial divisions, which coincide with our present judicial districts under statehood. And some of them allowed it and some of them didn't. And it was that disparity and what some people thought was an apparent lack of professionalism, or at least a liability to be accused of a lack of professionalism, relating to that disparity that resulted in the passage of the Alaska Integrated Bar Act of 1955. Then there was a clerkship allowed, passed by the legislature, I believe the second legislature, and then repealed by the third legislature during statehood. And that's the historical background for whatever purpose it was asked for.
Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the answer is 5 years.
Is that a ratio of 200-2? Debate. The question is, shall amendment number 3 pass the House? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment passes. Is there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 296 rules be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Objections noted. Mr. York, your objection? House will be at ease. House come to order. We are under motion to advance. There is an objection. Mr. Urien.
Speaker, in anticipation of perhaps another amendment or two, I'll withdraw my motion to advance.
And the motion to advance is withdrawn. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we rescind our action in adopting the last amendment and ask for a roll call vote.
Let's see, what amendment is that? That's amendment number 3. Motion is for the House to rescind its action in adopting amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Mrs. Ostrowski. Does any other member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Fifteen yeas, 22 nays, 3 excused.
Motion fails. Mr. Urien, Mr. Gardner was going to make the same motion. Maybe you should have waited for him. You might have done better. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move again that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 296 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There will be no objection. House Committee substitute for 296 is advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage. Would the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 296, rules amended by the House by the Rules Committee. An act relating to the Alaska Integrated Bar Act and amending Rule 2 of Part 1 of the Alaska Bar Rules.
Bill's before you for discussion. Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote against the bill because, as this body knows, I don't vote for bills I believe to be unconstitutional, but also for another reason. Originally, the bill was intended by the sponsor on the other side, I believe, and it's been testified before our committee that this was true, at the request of the Alaska Bar Association, to really clean up what is left of the old Alaska Integrated Bar Act of 1955 that's sitting in Title 8, about half of which is really quite contrary to present practice and really unconstitutional. And there's really nothing left of that original intention.
Is there any other discussion? Question is, shall House Bill Senate Bill 296 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Mr. Urien. Does any other member, Mr. Wallace? Any other member? Clerk may take the roll.
25 yeas, 12 nays, 3 excused.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure what the title indicating that we're amending Rule 2, Part 1 of the Alaska Bar Rules. I'm not sure if that comes under the classification of Rule 40 or not, which requires a two-thirds vote, because that deals with court rules. However, for purposes of being on the safe side, I'm going to assume that it does. And I'll move, Mr. Speaker, for adoption, which would require 27 votes, Section 14, which is the change of bar rule section of this bill.
Question is,
may we have a moment, please?
House will stay out of these. House come to order. Motion before the House, Mr. Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I hate to do this to my friend Ernie, but I'd rather call the House.
It's your privilege. The House is called. Bar the doors. Will the clerk seek the absent members?
May we be at ease, Mr.
House will be at ease. House come to order. Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to lift the call.
The call is lifted. Question before the House is the adoption of Section 14 requires 27 votes. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll. No, I'm sorry, Madam Clerk. Clerk may take the roll.
Thirty yeas, 9 nays, 1 excused.
Section 14 is adopted. Mr. Eliason.
We have another at ease, please.
House will be at ease. House come to order. Mr. Specking. Without objection, Representative Hirschberger will be excused from the call of the House on Friday. Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on my vote on Senate Bill 296.
Reconsideration is noted. There is some question whether 27 votes has to apply to the entire bill, and we're going to be doing some checking to try to determine what the status is overnight. Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 95 by the Rules Committee, saluting Dr. Don M. Defoe on the occasion of his retirement from public employment, but not from public service.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 95 is before you for consideration. Is there any discussion? Question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 95 pass the House? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Let the record show the resolution passed unanimously. Mr. Brown.
I don't know if it's in order, but I'll try it. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Concurrent Resolution... Oh, we can't do that, can we? It's a Senate Concurrent Resolution. Okay. I thought it was one of ours. I was going to ask to make it sponsorship by all of it.
We can't do that. This brings us to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to waive the referral to the Judiciary Committee of House Bill 367 and House Bill 392.
What are those numbers, Mr. And will you identify the bill, Mr. Gardner?
House Bill 367 and 392. 367 deals with the licensing of social workers, and House Bill 392 deals with the licensing of vocational rehabilitation personnel.
Without objection, then that referral will be waived. Mr. Specking.
Speaker, under unfinished business, I'd like to ask the Speaker to perhaps give us some guidance as to what he intends to do about confirmation. And it appears to me that well along, I know these are familiar words, I've been spoken before, but it does appear that the certification that require that we get final approval. Certainly, big welcome to find to take that action timely fashion.
Mr. Specking, I can't give you any guidance. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, under unfinished business, we had, and I think was distributed on all members' desks, a report of the Free Conference Committee bill on committee substitute for Senate Bill number 310 relative to leaves of absence for auxiliary members of the armed forces. Noting a due pass recommendation from all three members of the House Free Conference Committee, I'll move at this time that this body concur in the Free Conference Committee substitute for House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 310. I'll ask the members to vote yes.
The motion is to adopt the Free Conference Committee substitute on Senate Bill 310. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. The Free Conference Committee substitute is adopted. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I just wanted to mention, just for the information of the body, that we have one other pending Free Conference Committee substitute, but the chairman of that particular committee I think, ill today, and therefore I'll hold that over until tomorrow's time. Speaker, may we be at ease?
House be at ease. House come to order. Mr. Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests?
That objections. We'll revert to the introduction of guests.
Hey, Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B is a very good friend of mine and is now head of the Alaska Plan, Mr. Milo Griffin.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent we take up my reconsideration on committee substitute for House Bill 902 at this time.
Brings House Bill 902 automatically before us. Clerk read House Bill 902 in third read.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 902 by the Finance Committee, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Legislative Affairs Agency and providing for an effective date.
Bills before you for discussion. Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I know that there are some members in this body who feel pretty strongly about different departments coming in with accurate budgets. With the adoption of this bill, it would be in excess of $1.4 million in extra money that we have appropriated to run our little operation here. That means we missed it by a considerable percent, Mr. Speaker, and I would urge the members to vote no.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, of course, even numbered years notwithstanding, I think most members of the body remember that at the beginning of the session, between the work with the Legislative Council and the House Finance and Senate Finance Committees, we adopted a budget that would anticipate a 90-day session because that we considered that was essentially good management. You know, there's no way you can ever tell how long the session is going to be. And if we had been 84 days, maybe we would have saved some money. And I think that the dollars came pretty close on that, and I think we should be in a position to congratulate the people on the finance committees and within the Department of Administrative Services for coming out that close. And as far as the other comments are concerned, I don't think they're appropriate, and I favor the bill.
Mr. Ewing.
Mr. Speaker, evidently I have to point out to Mr. Brown that earlier this session we appropriated $900,000 supplemental appropriation to run this outfit, Mr. Brown. It wasn't done in the budget that passed last year. We missed it last year, we missed it at the beginning of this year, and we're going to miss it today.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, since I think the only two members of the press who are present in the chamber know what really was going on, I'm not going to reply.
Any other discussion? Wouldn't want to cut off debate. Committee substitute for House Bill number 902 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll. Mr. Naughton.
Mr. Speaker, I think you'll have to void that. Mr. Freeman's vote didn't register.
If a member was in the chamber and he didn't register his vote, we will have to void the roll call. The clerk void the roll call. question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 902 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk might close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk might take the roll.
Yeas, 6 Nays, 1 Excused.
Committee substitute for House Bill 902 has passed the House. Is there anything more to come forth? Mr. Miller, there's an effective date.
What was that bill number again? I've already thrown mine over.
Committee substitute for House Bill 902.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent the roll call on House Committee substitute for House Bill 902 be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
There are no objections, so ordered. Mr. Malone.
Trying to read things at the same time you're saying something else. But
Mr. Malone. Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Speaker. I'd like to ask that we revert to introduction of guests.
That objection, we revert to introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to take the opportunity to introduce to the House a friendly constituent of mine and Representative Rhodes and Gallery B, Mr. Frank Tupper from Homer.
So anything more under unfinished business? Under unfinished business, the chair would appoint a House Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill number 334, mutual banks, enabling mutual banks to invest in property improvement notes in excess of $10,000. Appoint Mr. Parker, Mr. Greening, and Mr. Urien, with Mr. Greening being chairman. Is there anything more to come before the House under unfinished business? Committee announcements. Mr. Gardner. Mr. Bradley.
House Commerce tomorrow at 8 a.m. will be taking up a few bills that we've had before.
Mr. Cotton.
CRA will meet tomorrow morning at 9. House Bill 903, Establishment of a Division of Senior Citizens.
Representative Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, House Hess will meet this afternoon at 3 to discuss Senate Concurrent Resolution 75, the development of a children's code, and House Bill 665.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the House Resources Committee will meet upon adjournment to continue hearings on committee substitute for Senate Bill 184, House Bill 346, second sponsor substitute for House Bill 803, all relating to oil and gas. And tomorrow morning, we'll at 8 a.m., we'll have hearings on House Concurrent Resolution number 123 relating to coastal zone management, and House Bill 787 providing for issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $4,015,000 for state fair facilities construction.
Mr. McKinnon.
State Affairs will meet on adjournment. We'll be taking up Senate Bill 601 dealing with court recording, House Bill 727 and HCR 85 both dealing with public works projects.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Finance Committee will meet on adjournment and also at 7 p.m. this evening. Under consideration at present is the moving through the university budget, and this evening I expect we'll be working on cleanup items in the budget. We'll meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning. If the other work is done at that time, we'll be considering some of the bond issues. I'll post them.
Mr. Speaker. Malone, or excuse me, Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, a couple of announcements. One, a reminder for members of this body that the financial disclosure statements are due tomorrow. I presume most members, hopefully all, have already got them in the mail. Mr. Speaker, just to advise the body what the plans are for the weekend, the plan will be to come in a little bit early at 9 a.m. on Friday morning so that hopefully we can get a little bit of an early run on the day and adjourn well before noon so that members can catch flights out of the city, and then to take Saturday and Sunday off, but to convene again at 2 p.m. Monday. With the 2 p.m. reconvening, people won't have to leave their homes on Easter. If there's no further announcements to come before the body.
Mr. Eliason seeking the floor.
Mr. Speaker, are we going to have special orders today?
Mr. Eliason, I'm sorry if we missed special orders. We're delighted to hear from you if you have a special order.
Well, Mr. Speaker, no, I just had a little note of interest for all of us, I think. This week, I've been a timekeeper for our pool, and it's of interest, I think, to most of us to know that Representative Brown has completely shattered his old record of 45 minutes and 32 seconds. And Representative Urien being the pessimist that he is, won again.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I didn't know the pool was still being kept up, but I would appreciate if the member would not comment on the results if he's going to do as he did several weeks ago and send me a message on the floor saying, "Keep talking, Fred, I haven't won yet."
Are there any other committee announcements? Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Without objection, we're in adjournment.